Second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. The story continues. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called his parents. And they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we don't know how it is that he now sees, and we don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus as the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God, because we know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Well, they reviled him. "You are his disciple. We are disciple of Moses. For we know that God has spoken through Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." The man answered, "Well, here is an astonishing thing. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the beginning of the world has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Well, they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Now, Jesus had heard that they had driven him out. And when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and that those who do see may become blind." Now some of the Pharisees near him heard him say this, and they said, "Well, surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But that you say we see, your sin remains." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, illumine our hearts and minds so that by the power of your Holy Spirit we may see what is good and right and true. And seeing, help us do what is pleasing to you, so that your glory becomes visible in words and deeds. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When life-altering headline-making events occur, there are usually more questions than answers. Tragedies like the Malaysian airline disappearance, mass shootings, natural disasters, these events, they capture our attention and they occupy our minds and they fill up our Facebook feeds and they fuel our conversations and they heighten our anxieties. How could this thing happen? Who's responsible? How can we get control to prevent another event like this? And there's plenty of speculation on the part of 24-hour news commentators and bloggers, but speculation and assumption is often about where it remains. And the rabble, as it dissipates, without any clear resolution or answer to our burning questions, keeps us suspended. If answers do come, they are often somehow not that satisfying. They don't make us feel any better. The event was random. The killer came from a broken home. There was just a mechanical failure. The answers, they somehow don't match the weight of our questions. Yeah, but how? Why? It's kind of like the questions that the disciples ask Jesus at the beginning of the story. Why was this man born blind? Is he being punished for some sin he committed or some sin that his parents committed? Jesus' answer doesn't quite satisfy their grasping for some logical explanation. He says, neither. He was just born blind. And God's power will be shown through him. For us, after those events and their unresolved questions, we establish some kind of new normal. And then we wait until the next big event jolts us awake again and the questions all return. I think it's with this understanding of ourselves that we can approach the story of the man born blind in John's Gospel. See, Jesus' actions here are more akin to an earthquake that jolts the community awake than it is to some holy, helpful magic trick. I think there can be some tendency to misunderstand the community's response to the blind man's sudden transformation. It's not like the kids at our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper marveling at Bill Packard, the magic man, as he pulls a dove out of his sleeve. Whoa, how did he do that? It's a miracle. It's not a trick. It's an act of God that brings healing to the world and glory to God. Here, the blind man, given vision by Jesus through spit and dirt, amounts to a life-altering community event. And so the questions flood in. There are 18 questions that flood the story, all variations of, but how could this happen? The neighbors here are not just dense or ignorant. They are faced with an event that pushes at the laws of all reason and religion, that makes the world seem like it's all under control. The man that you've seen every day, sitting by the side of the street, begging for food or a little change if you can spare it, blind from the day of his birth, he walks into your office and he says, the man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes, and he said to me, go and wash. And so I did. I went and I washed, and I received my sight. It's like that. And the thing is, the man's not lying, and he's not crazy. He's testifying to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this story, we can cue the 24-hour news cycle, the blog posts and the counter blog posts and the tweets and the Facebook shares and the lunch break conversations. You know, what do you think happened? Is it the same man, or do you think it's a different man? The story is covered in muddy water, and the answers given, they just don't seem to measure up. Okay, so this is an interesting story. from the Bible. And maybe there are some relatable emotions from this story to our lives today, but honestly, what has this got to do with you or me? How is this relevant? Where are my 7 steps to being a better Christian take-home tips? How does this story help me to get more friends at school? Or get that job that I've been wanting? Or be a better partner? Or get along better with my mom or dad? I often hear that the Bible seems irrelevant for us today. And that the job of a good, entertaining sermon should be to answer all of the questions. And tie it up nicely. And make us better, happier, more Christian people. Well, I'm sorry to say, that's not what the Bible teaches us about preaching. The story right here teaches us about what preaching is. Here's how. This man, blind from birth, touched by the hands of Jesus Christ, healed by spit and dirt and water, he's a preacher. And he's doing what every preacher is called to do, to tell the story of Jesus as you have experienced it. You want to know what this has to do with your life today? How is this relevant? Well, this is the story of a person who met Jesus and who walks away transformed. So this is the story about every person who has faith that Jesus is real and present in his or her life. And so, like the man, we are called to tell the story with our whole lives. We tell the story of how we met Jesus. Because many folks that we encounter in our day-to-day, they actually have more uncertainty, more hurt or fear than faith and hope when it comes to the church. And that's what this story has to do with you. That's why it's relevant. Like the man healed by Jesus, we have to tell others about how Jesus has affected us. We have to preach. This story is about more than an amazing healing of a man blind from birth. The healing is the beginning, and a miraculous beginning it is. It's an amazing healing, deeply incarnational, and by incarnational I mean deeply personal, in the flesh. It's intimate and gritty. Jesus is in your face. You know how when you close your eyes, you can sometimes still feel someone's presence? This is Jesus, incarnational, God in the flesh. And in this, he's a healing potter, working with the medium of clay. Clay made with spit and dirt. Clay taken from the earth, like in the beginning, in the garden, where the potter, the creator, is in the mud, fashioning a people, a holy community. Jesus is deeply personal, present today. If I'm sounding a little bit evangelical today, it's because, well, I need to today. Because today we need to share the good news and make this story real and relevant. And we need your help. We need your voice. We need you to be part of this, to tell your story about how Jesus has affected you. Because this week, those who call themselves fundamentalists did a very sad thing. And we need the people to know that those folks, that what those folks did is not part of the love of Jesus Christ. You see, this week, one of the largest charitable organizations in the world, World Vision, announced that they would hire Christians who were gay and in committed relationships to be part of their work of serving the poor. Now, World Vision does truly amazing work on behalf of the most vulnerable around the world. They are true witnesses to the work of Jesus Christ. They are present in the margins. They live in solidarity with the least of these, from refugee camps in Syria to victims of natural disasters in the Philippines to the Congo. They provide sponsorship for thousands of vulnerable children around the globe, and they depend on donors, mainly Christian donors, to do this powerful work. But this week, after the announcement that they would begin to hire openly gay Christians, fundamentalists, blinded by sin, took World Vision hostage. Thousands of donors pulled their money from the charity in protest, resulting in the loss of millions of dollars committed to child sponsorship and relief work. They effectively brought one of the largest charitable organizations in the world to its knees in 2 days at the prospect of an openly gay Christian in a committed partnership helping get food to starving children. In the 2 days following World Vision's initial decision, the call center was flooded with furious calls. The president of World Vision reported that there were employees at the call center who had to quit because they couldn't handle the stress and anxiety created by the incoming calls. The anger and hatred spewed at them was too much. So-called followers of Jesus were willing to make victims of the most vulnerable in the world, willing to let life-giving funding for hungry kids dry up because of their fear and their hatred. That, brothers and sisters, is sin. And that is disturbing blindness. And that, I assure you, is not of God. So do you want to know why the story of Jesus as we know it in the Bible is relevant today? It's not a pretty five-step how-to manual. It's a muddy, gritty, soaking wet gospel of love. At the end of the story from John's gospel, Jesus is sitting with a now vision-filled man. And he's been kicked out of his community, kicked out because Jesus healed him. Jesus gave him sight to see the world as it is. Jesus is telling the man that he came into the world for people who are vulnerable. He's come to help the blind see. But for those who claim to see, those who think that they hold the keys of the kingdom of God, those who are willing to kick out the man touched by God out of the community, in the case of John's gospel, it's the Pharisees who claim not to be blind. And in our day, it's the fundamentalists who let hatred of LGBT rights be the motivation for victimizing the poor and vulnerable around the world. He says to those folks, "You who say you see, your sin remains." The reason I need to sound like an evangelical today is that I need to share some good news of Jesus. Jesus' love for all. And we need to name some sin. We need to name sin that touches all of us, and it does. We all have sin as part of our lives, and we confess that. But we need to name some very particular sin today. The sin of willful blindness in the face of a new holy vision of Jesus Christ. We need to name the sin of hatred and bigotry and arrogance and violence. We need to name that sin because it is that which Jesus came in the world to heal. In the face of this sin, Jesus spits, and he gets messy, and he makes clay from the dust, and he spreads it on the eyes, and he says, "Now go wash yourselves." And so we do, together, in the muddy waters, and he heals. This kind of hatred, this kind of blindness, it cannot continue. And that is why we need to be the ones. Each and every one of you here who has been touched by Jesus, we need to be the ones to testify to the gospel truth. We have to tell the story about Jesus' love and grace. Folks are literally dying to hear that good news from us, that Jesus loves them. It won't be easy. The man born blind has to tell the story over and over, and still they can't take what he has to say. It's not satisfying. After telling his story so many times, watching even his own parents distance themselves from him out of fear, all he can say is the one thing that he knows, that though I was blind, now I see. So tell that story, y'all. We must. Tell the one thing that you know. It might be gritty and mud-caked, and it might be filled with darkness and light, but tell it because Jesus is in it. So let me start. One thing I know is that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. And when I walk through dark valleys, I'm not afraid. So no matter who you are, whatever your skin color, whatever your gender, whether you're gay or straight, wherever or whatever your faith is right now, whatever you've done or had done to you, Jesus is standing right in front of you with his hands covered in mud. And he's saying, I love you, and I know you, and I'm the one that heals you. And with me, you are at home forever. Amen.